My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is Solomon's Advice on Marriage. This morning, we will discuss Solomon's advice on marriage by surveying the Song of Solomon. The suggested date of this 117-verse poem is 965 to 960 B.C., before Solomon was corrupted by his 700 wives and 300 concubines. The Song of Solomon celebrates the joy of wedded love that is patterned after God's design. This book demonstrates that true love is the basis of marriage. True love is the basis for happiness, and true love is the foundation for a life of fulfillment. The book of Job shows the difficulty of understanding human suffering and the importance of trusting God each and every day. The book of Proverbs contains wisdom about the fear of God and how it applies to every aspect of our lives. Ecclesiastes shows the emptiness of life when people try to walk by sight and human wisdom. The very next book, Song of Solomon, shows that instead of life being empty and vain, life can have meaning and purpose. Franklin Camp said, "The Song of Solomon is the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians in the Old Testament. The principles of love set forth in this book reflects God's love for the faithful remnant in the Old Testament and the bride of Christ in the New Testament. Of course, real love is based on one's understanding of God and His love for us. God manifested His love through the gift of His Son." 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. Paul said, "But God demonstrated His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5, verse 8. Jesus died not only to provide forgiveness of sins, but also to provide a new life. Wives are commanded to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Husbands are commanded to love their wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. Husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. When husbands love and cherish their wives in this manner, wives will have no problem submitting to their husbands. A successful marriage starts with both husband and wife putting God and His will first in their lives. A successful marriage is sustained when husband and wife love each other as Christ loved them and forgive each other as Christ forgave them. Let's look at a few verses out of each chapter that point out the characteristics of love and see how these are the foundation of marriage. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. "I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept." The bride says, "I am dark but lovely." The King James Version says, "I am black but comely." She is a farm girl, a keeper of the vineyard. There is nothing special about her physical beauty. This is important because as we read the book, we see that the real values of love are not based upon physical attraction, as Hollywood would have us to believe. There are inward beauties, spiritual qualities of the soul that are far more important than physical beauty. Solomon said, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." These inward, spiritual qualities form the basis of what makes a man or woman attractive. This is the foundation of a happy marriage. When the bride says, "Do not look upon me because I am black," the idea is that she is scorched or tanned from working out in the sun. "But my own vineyard I have not kept," refers to her own body, which had not been pampered since she had so much hard work to do. There are two characteristics of true love: service and sacrifice. She was engaged in service, working with her hands. With great sacrifice, she put others above self. This is the sign of a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 15. True love is always interested in serving one another, and true love is always sacrificial. A husband and wife who serve and sacrifice for the other will guarantee a marriage that is fulfilling and a happy home. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. The American Standard Version says, "I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley." The margin of the American Standard Version uses the word plain. The bride was not referring to herself as a beautiful rose, but she was just a plain flower. This verse illustrates the feelings of doubt the young bride has. She questions if her husband will find her desirable. It is up to the husband to erase all doubt, which he does in verse 2. "The beloved, like the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." The husband uses her word for herself to demonstrate that her beauty is equivalent to a lily among the thorns. In his opinion, she is the most beautiful woman in the world. She has an attraction to him that is above and beyond anyone else on earth. Justin told me at the lineman's banquet, the guys at the table were gawking at a waitress trying to get him to look. But he stared intently at his food because he is married to the most beautiful woman on earth. All successful marriages are based upon this principle. The husband should see his wife as a lily among thorns. All other women are thorns compared to her. The wife should have the same attitude towards the husband. No one else in the world compares to him. Is this the way we feel about our spouse or future spouse? Do we take the occasion to look at what passes by, or do we focus on our food? If we want the type of love that is set forth in this book and find true happiness and fulfillment in life, our gaze and desire must be for our spouse. This will keep a marriage from falling apart. This will give the marriage a solid foundation on which to build. Without this, we are headed towards shipwreck. In chapter 3, she is daydreaming or night dreaming. This is an important characteristic of true love. How often do we think about our spouse? Before marriage, we used to daydream about each other a lot. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. "By night on my bed I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise now," I said, "and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, 'Have you seen the one I love?' Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. And I held him and would not let him go until I brought him to my mother's house and into the chamber of her who conceived me." Here is a picture of the steadfastness of love. I sought him, but I did not find him. Look at the sense of loss when she could not find him. There was something missing in her life. She started to search for him. And when she found him, she said, I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go. With true love, the old saying is true. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. In those difficult days of absence, Robert talked about his love for the Lord and his love for Judith. Listen, when you have a good thing, you really miss it and hold tightly to it when you get it back. You are unwilling to let it go. Whenever a marriage is based on this type of love, it cannot be torn apart. These verses also show the idea of partnership in the marriage and the danger of one losing a partner. Why the groom was absent is not stated. Some have suggested that as king, Solomon was busy with the affairs of the kingdom and thus delayed in returning to his new bride. Paul said, but if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. Call me old-fashioned, but the husband has the primary responsibility of providing for the home. Sometimes that requires him to be away from home. My dad was gone a lot due to the military. There was no question that he loved us and was a good provider, but when he was home, he did not give mom or the kids special attention. How many marriages have floundered on the rocks because husband and wife failed to pay attention to each other or the kids? Wives and kids need more than money. Husbands need to give special care to all who are in the home. The way to avoid losing a partner is to be sensitive and realize the danger of saying, it's always been that way. Chapter 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. Here we have the emphasis on developing right attitudes and characteristics of life that the other person appreciates. The development of personalities is important for a successful marriage. Suppose we like to do something that our spouse disapproves of, enjoying a Bud Light or smoking cigarettes. Even though it may be legal, should we not consider our spouse's feelings and happiness? Is that drink or cigarette or hobby worth more than our spouse's happiness? The husband needs to ask himself, what kind of characteristics do I need to develop to fully please my wife? And then seek to try and develop that character. And the same goes for the wife. Our goal is to develop a personality that is attractive. Do you know some people that you just don't want to be around? Their presence is like being in the north wind, chilly and frigid. Have you ever said, I can't imagine being married to them? If we are not careful, bad character traits can develop in our lives that will cause friction and hinder true love. Well, what will my friends think if I try so hard to please my spouse? Forget about trying to impress those outside the home. Instead, show them an example of a godly marriage. We should work on developing in our lives principles influenced by the gospel of Christ that will enable us to have a personality that is attractive to our spouse and to others. Chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. This is not talking about kissing, but about the bridegroom's words, what he says. Consider the importance of words. Both husband and wife need to be careful what they say to each other and what they say to their children. It is easy to say things that are unkind, cutting, or simply in the wrong tone. In 1834, Horatio Palmer wrote a hymn about angry words. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the lips. Love is much too pure and holy. Friendship is too sacred far for a moment's reckless folly thus to desolate and mar. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. Brightest links of life are broken by a single angry word. How many times have we said something wishing we could take it back? The reason God gave us two ears and one mouth was to listen twice as much as we talk. The bride said, "Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend." Look at the word "my." To appreciate this, you have to back up to verse 9, where the daughters of Jerusalem ask the bride, "What do you see in him more than women see in other men?" She sees something super special in him, something that others do not see. This ought to be true of both husband and wife when they look at each other in comparison to others. One commentator said, "Happy is the husband whose spouse is his good friend, and vice versa." Chapter 6, verse 10. "Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banner?" Here is a picture of the beauty and freshness of the morning. That does not sound like a bride coming to the table with rollers in her hair, or the husband walking around unbathed. The bride is as lovely as the dawn of day. She is a breath of fresh air. Both husband and wife should always be concerned with their appearance, desiring to be attractive and appealing to one another. When a marriage is based on this type of love, imagine how solid it will be. Chapter 7, verse 10. "I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me." Here we find the fulfillment, contentment, and satisfaction of life. This verse is suggestive of Genesis chapter 2, where God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." In the midst of plenty and delight, Adam was conscious of feelings he could not gratify. The wife, who is of God's making by special grace and of God's bringing by special providence, was to be a help meet for him. Do we consider our wives or future wife a God-given help meet? Do we consider our wife or husband or future spouse my beloved? What a wonderful, solid foundation for which a marriage to be built upon. A marriage that is based on these characteristics will be able to withstand the ups and downs of life. Chapter 8, verse 4. "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awake love until it pleases." This statement is found three times in the book. Here we see the spontaneous nature of love. Love is not something that is forced. In Matthew 26, Mary poured out the ointment on Christ. It was not forced, No one told her she had to do it. This act of kindness and devotion was spontaneous. She thought of it on her own. There is a spontaneous characteristic of true love. This is also a reminder of that love is sacred. It is not something to be trifled with. In verses 6 and 7, we have some of the finest language describing love in the Scriptures. Chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as a grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, Zerubbabel was like a signet ring to the Lord. A signet ring was worn on one of the fingers of the right hand or carried in the bosom. Zerubbabel was somebody special. God preserved him as a precious treasure from all the assaults of the wicked. Today, God preserves as a precious jewel everyone who is in Christ. The Shulamite to her beloved, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. In other words, take me into your heart as something precious. Precious things are very valuable. We handle them with extra care. When a husband or wife or future spouse is as a seal or signet within the heart of the other, that marriage is founded upon the rock. For love is as strong as death. Think about the power of death. There comes a time when nothing you can do will resist it. It does not matter how many tears you shed. When a body is placed in the grave, it is unyielding. Think about the love that binds together the hearts of husband and wife. It is as strong as death itself, unyielding. Their love for one another won't let go. Jealousy as cruel as a grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. This shows the strength and intensity of love. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. Here we see the loyalty of true love. Suffering, pain, trials, and heartaches cannot put it out. What this life throws at it cannot stifle or destroy it, but causes the husband and wife to hold tightly to each other. Let's conclude our discussion with seven qualities of an ideal marriage from this book. Number one, the man and the woman are learning to be totally captivated with each other. Two, each partner is developing a love and contentment with the physical attributes of the other. Number three, verbal appreciation for those physical attributes is expressed often. Number four, each partner longs for the affection of the other and desires the love of no other. Number five, each appreciates and verbalizes how they are better because of the other. Number six, there is a feeling of total commitment to each other. And number seven, there is a genuine care and concern for the other. Well, it sounds like you have it all together in your marriage, preacher. Well, don't talk to my wife. A successful marriage is like working out our own salvation. It is a day-by-day process, and for some of us, it is a minute-by-minute process. It is a blessing for us to study God's Word with you.